morning, Rabbosai. I'm going to continue my discussion from yesterday's shiur because it's Nogea to Rosh Chodesh, which is coming up on Sunday, Mitzvah Shem. Sunday will be Rosh Chodesh Sivan one day. And the discussion was yesterday, well, I got thrown towards the end of the shiur by something that Diane Westheim had written in his tshuva at the end about taking off tefillin. What we do is, that means we, those of us who don't wear Rabbi Natan's tefillin and wear only Rashi tefillin. So those of us who wear only Rashi tefillin, what do? Well, at the end of returning the Sefer Torah to the Oron, we say Chadish Yomeinu Kekedem. The Shliach Tzibur says Chatzi Kadish. Damirim Ba'olmo Ve'imru Omein. And then there is a short break while we take off our tefillin. And then we take off our tefillin and we do so deliberately as quick as possible. And that's why, generally speaking, we don't wind the rituals up neatly and put them in the bag because it takes too long. And we don't want to create a big gap between the Kaddish that we said on the Musaf, which we discussed that it goes on the Musaf as well, it's the Achonah to the Brochus of Musaf. Don't want to make too much of a gap, so we take off our tefillin as quick as possible, and then the gabba bangs, and we start our Shtilah Shmoneh Esrei. That's what we do. I didn't realize that in places where people wear Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin, it's the other way around. That's what threw me at the end of the thing. It's the other way around. What they do is as follows. Let's say in Chabad. In Chabad, everybody wears Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin. A bar mitzvah boy gets two pairs of tefillin. Rabbi Zavdi told me recently that his son became bar mitzvah and two pairs of tefillin straight away and full size, they have very large tefillin, cost him $5,000 for two pairs of tefillin. Obviously they're probably very, very mahuda, because it's $5,000 for a bar mitzvah boy to have two pairs of tefillin, and he wears those all his life. So therefore, what happens there is that everybody is wearing Rabbi Natan's tefillin. So what do they do there? There, they do it the other way around. First of all, very interesting, when they return the Sefer Torah to the Heichal, to the Oroin, they only say, Yehallelu, Hashem Hashem Kinozko Shmoy Levadoi, Hoda Leshroim, Verekala Moita Lechokhzdov, Bnei Yisrael Am Karoivoi, Hallelujah. And that is it. They don't say, on Shabbos, they don't say, Ledovid Mizmor, or Mizmor Ledovid. They do not say, Uvnucho Yoyma. Right, they just say Yehallelu and Hoidu and Hoidoi, those two psukim, and they do not say anything else, which fits in very well with what we were discussing, that we want to create as little as hefsekim as possible. So we said, okay, it's the Nusach HaTfilah and it's printed, therefore it's not called a hefsek. But in Chabad, they actually don't say anything, they don't create the hefsek. They say Yehallelu, Hoidu Alayos HaShemoyim, two psukim. Yehallelu is half a posuk, and then Hodalot Shroy Vayon Kalamoy is the other half of the first posuk and the second posuk, and they say the two posukim and they return. Then they don't say Kaddish. Then they take off their Rashi tefillin. They take off their Rashi tefillin, and they put on their Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin, and they say three parshias of Shema, Vayon Shemaya, and Vayoyme, and then they say Kaddish, and Vahoyo Kiviyacho. And then it's a break, it takes 5 to 7 minutes apparently, right? And then they say Kaddish, right? They say the Kaddish only afterwards, so that the Kaddish is right in front of the Musaf Shmoneh Esrei. So according to, so that's what Rabbi Dai Westheim was concluding at the end, that although they are putting on their Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin, and they're saying putting on Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin is a mitzvah, and we said the mitzvah is not a mafzik between Ashrei and Kaddish, and saying the psukim is Torah, and that's not a mafzik between Ashrei and Kaddish, therefore it fits in very well, says Rabbi Westheim, what they do, that they only say the Kaddish after they've taken off their Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin, whereas we say Kaddish before we take off the tefillin, and we only take our tefillin off afterwards, but we do it as quick as possible to minimize the gap between the Kaddish and the Shmoneh Esrei. One kasha I've got, I asked Rabbi Zavdi this morning in Yeshiva, he didn't know the answer, I have to contact Rabbi Raskin to find out, and that is that in the Siddur of Tilas Hashem of the Chabad, it says there that in addition to the fact that everybody has said the five parshias, three parshias of Shema plus Kaddish, plus Vahoyo Kiviyacho, after putting on their Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin, the Shliach Tzibur should say a capital Tehillim before he says Kaddish. The question is, what is this capital Tehillim doing? Yeah, why is he saying a chapter of Tehillim, any chapter of Tehillim, anything he likes, longest to the shortest, yeah, and then he says his Kaddish. After everybody has partaken of their Rashi Tefillin, put on Rabbein Tam's Tefillin, said five Parshias, and then taken off the Rabbein Tam's Tefillin, then they're about to say Kaddish, the Shliach Tzibur should say a capital Tehillim. What is that capital Tehillim doing? Watch this space, I'll try and find out before Rosh Chodesh.
Started at Torah Northwest London, Tuesday, Cafe Ia, 12th of May. Rabbi Shaul Steinberg, Shlita, Kivr of Kerl Balabatim, Gold's Green, Kivre Tzadik. This week's Torah Ben Spontal, Nishmaster Beiruch Ben Reb Mordechai Akern Zatzal, the rest of last Friday, Kaf Aleph Ia, the Nishmas, our esteemed founder, Yosef Dov, Baruch Shem Michal Tzvi Itzkvitz, Zechor Noli Brachot.
Okay, today's subject is about Kivri Tzadikim. More precise, davening by Kivri Tzadikim. So there is a Ramah in Hilchos Erev Rosh Hashanah that says the minig was in Erev Rosh Hashanah to go daven by the Kvarim, presumably for a Kvodiyah. And the Mishneh Berurah on the Ramah says that one should take care when he davens by Kivri Tzadikim, he says like this, Ach, but al yosim megamosoi neged hamesim. He shouldn't put his hope, or his tefillah, or direct his tefillah, neged hamesim, towards the mesim. Ach yivakish mehashem yisbarach. He should daven to Hashem. When a person davens by Kivri Tzadikim, he should be davening to Hashem. And how, what should he be saying? She yitin all of rachamim, B'schus ha-tzadikim sheichni ofo. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have mercy on him in the schus of the ones who are sleeping in the ofo. So the way, the structure of the tefillah really is, that you're davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the schus of the tzadikim, the tzadik that's buried there. Not you actually talking or putting any, placing any hope in the mace himself. Now, the truth being that the Mishneh Berurah comes from earlier Achoenim, the Bach brings from Maril, from Chaim Paltiel, that over this problem, that he says, in fact, there he's talking about when people make a neder to go daven by a keva, and he's saying there that who says it's even worthwhile doing that? Because who said it's a good thing to go to a keva? Because when one goes to a keva and he's directing his thoughts towards the mace, it's like Dorish El HaMesim. Dorish El HaMesim is allowed in Parsha Shoftim, one isn't allowed to use koichas to try and seek out information from mesim. It seems there was techniques to find out from a mace various things, and you're not allowed to do that. The Rambam even brings, the Gemara brings, the Sanhedrin, that they used to sleep over, starve themselves, sleep in a Bezek Kvaras, and they would somehow connect to the dead people. So obviously this is not, no one talking about connecting to dead people even over here, that's not what the Mishneh Berurah is discussing. But if one davens, or talks to the mace and asks the mace, you know, you daven for me, asks the mace, you know, you're in Shemayim, you're close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you beseech from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam on my behalf. That is, there's an element of Dorish Al HaMesim. Talking to the mace, asking the mace to be there for you, there's an element of Dorish Al HaMesim. It's obviously only a drabonon or like a ke'en and the en or something, a form of Dorish Al HaMesim. It's not really the Doraisa. So that's what the Mishneh Berurah is coming to say you shouldn't do. You shouldn't be speaking to the mace. So that's what I'm bringing from the Mishneh Berurah, and it's a big controversy and a big shaila. But the Mishneh Berurah says when you go to the mace, you should not speak to the mace, you should speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The alternative is like you're saying, you talk to the mace, you say, the mace, you know, you're tzaddik and shemayim, you're close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you daven for me. But the mace, Mishneh Berurah brings, and I'm saying, goes all the way back to the Bach and the Chaim Paltiel, that there's a problem with that. There's a problem because it's me'en Dorish El HaMesim. It's a bit of Dorish El HaMesim. One may not do that. That's what Mishneh Berurah says. And as you pointed out, there are many who do that. In fact, the Prima Godin, ready over here on this remark, points out that if you look at the many Yiratzons, all which are composed, I don't know who composed them, but it would seem they're very old, because I'm sorry, even the Bach quotes. He says, Bach himself says, there are many tefillahs that we have, which in the tefillah it seems that we are talking to the Mesim. And we are directing our, let's call it, a bakosha. We ask from the mace, please daven for us. So it can't be that wrong if the nusach hatfilah, the nusach of the Yotzim, which presumably was composed by great people, and they themselves wrote it in that fashion, that one should speak, one speaks to the mace.
But every levaya, the rov who's speaking as maspid, always says at the end of every hesped that the neshama should go out and daven on behalf of his family, stand in front of the kisei hakovod,
could be the same idea, the same shayla really, because I mean that's a nusach which we have, which presumably comes from somewhere, because I'm assuming that's it's not maybe created, not a recent thing. And it's the same idea. And the nusach on the one hand seems to say there's an idea of asking of the mace to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on your behalf. On the other hand, it's quite clear in the Mishnah Berurah, he says, you should be yavakish me Hashem Yisparach, shigitin olav rachimim, b'schus hatzadikim sheikh ni'ofa. Maybe not Macy, Mamish Mace. I hear you want to say. Yeah, he's saying this, he's so soon just been nifta, it's not Mamish, doesn't look like Derish and Mason. He hasn't been Oyla yet. Derish and Mason is going to be Sekvaros, that was the original Derish and Mason, using a dead thing, so maybe that's a slightly better. But even if it's not slightly better, were you asking similar to the question at hand, that the Nuschos are clearly seem to speak to the mace and not speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the schus of the mace.
What does the Mishnah
Berurah
say again?
His notion is, ach, but al yosim megamosoi neged ha-mesim, you shouldn't put his hope, his hope, towards the mace. Ach yivakish ma-Hashem yisbarach, you should ask from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sheyitin ol of rachamim, you should give him mercy, b'schus ha-tzadikim sheikh ni'ofo, in the merit of the tzadikim who are resting in this offer. So you're talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he's saying, look, there's a tzaddik over here, in his chus, you should send me my yeshua. What, sorry?
In his chus, should help us.
You should help us. But you're not talking to the mace at all, you're talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Why don't you go to the cave of
Seif? Oh, there is such a discussion, I've seen discussion, just speak anyway. Yeah. Maybe because it's closer at hand, so we do things when they're closer at hand.
The mace should intercede on our behalf, which have the ability to intercede.
That is one way of doing it. Yes. That's what we're saying. And the hirotzons that are composed sound that way. The Mishnah Berurah is saying not like that. Mishnah Berurah is clearly saying, and I'm saying the Mishnah Berurah doesn't come, it's not the Mishnah Berurah, it comes all the way back from the Bach and earlier. That there's a problem that it looks like Deirish al HaMesir. I'm sorry if I'm ruffling some feathers over here with a new idea of how you daven at a kever. But it is, I've not invented this Shaila. In fact, I said the Bach himself talks about it, and the Minchas Yitzchus got tshuva about it, because somebody asked him that there is a minug to put kvitlach on a mace, on a keder. Put kvitl, write a name, and put your kvitl on it. And the fellow asked him that maybe it's wrong, because what's the idea of a kvitl? The understanding of a kvitl is you're speaking to the mace, you're putting the name on the kvitl, you're putting it on the keder, and by putting it on the keder, you're sort of directing your bakosha, call it, your request from the mace. Maybe you shouldn't do that. And the Minchas Yitzchak, he goes through this whole shayla, the Tut Stodim over here. Is it that we're asking from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or are we speaking to the mace to ask from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And he says, that's the Tut Stodim over here. And he brings the Mishnah Berurah and the Bach and others, and then he brings to the fact that the Prima Godim and the Bach himself points out that the Nuschos HaTfilah all seem to be that way. And he says, he finishes, just, sorry.
Put a stone on the
cable. The stone is something else, Oh, putting a stone on the makeda, this very understanding. Some hold, because you've asked from the mace something, so you put a stone on the keva. Some hold it's to do with the Torah to be mistabic, because the Ramaz in putting the stone there.
Not reading the inscription.
That's another thing of kosher shikha. Yeah, so there's a lot of kevas, got a lot of hogim and things. So the Minchas Yitzchak, in fact, just to finish what he says at the end, he says, since it seems to be two mahalkim, because it's definitely registered the other mahalach other than Mishnah Berurah, he's not going to come and be machriya, he's not going to decide. Now and now, aposhta, everybody should do what they do, and therefore, that's the last line of the whole shayla. But that is the tut stodim over here. But in fact, if you look at the various gemaras about going to daven at kvarim, it's quite clear that he spoke to the mace. famously, one of the earliest ones I know of, is that Yosef HaTzadik, after he was sold down to Mitzrayim by his brothers, he went past Kivu Rochel, the Medrash, and Medrash says he went into his mother, and he starts talking to his mother. He says to his mother, see what my brothers have done to me. Kolev, and so to Daflam and Daladon days, says he was with the Meraglim, and he leaves them, he goes to Chavroin, and he goes to Baron's Machpena, and the Gemara says, clearly, he says, Avoisai, my father's! And he starts saying to his fathers, you know what's happening to me? That Yeshua had Moshe Rabbeinu davening for him. I've got no one to daven for me. So maybe you daven for me. You help me. So it's clear again, he spoke to the Mesim. He spoke to Avraham Yitzchak for Yaakov. So we see in the Gemara that there is such an idea of speaking directly to the Mesim. Yes, I mean the Mesim, I mean the Neshama, yes. Yeah, I don't mean the Mesim. Yeah, but it's the same thing, it's the same idea. You're directing it directly to the Mace, not directly to Kaddish Baruch Hu. There's another Gemara, there's Gemara Tanis Tafta Zayin with Base. The Gemara brings a story of Mani. They were chaperoning him, some people were chaperoning him, and he goes to his father's cave and he says, Abba, they're my father, they're chaperoning me, they're hurting me. And the Gemara says a story that what happened was the people got frozen next to the cave. He got saved, but he spoke directly to his father. So again, we see that the Gemaras seem to imply that there is a way of davening by a keva, by talking directly to a mace. And Michas Yitzchak and other Rechonim all address this. They try to re-explain the Gemara. Not so clear how. The Gemara does seem to be seen that way, but they're not completely bothered. Don't look at the Gemara as a complete riot. But it's something to note, that the Gemara does seem to be the other Mahalach as well. That's something else. Okay. That's a whole different shayla of how was he allowed to do that. That wasn't going to a cave to daven. That was something else. Okay, that's another whole shmooze how he could do that. That's clearly a shayla how he could do that. Okay, so that is the Tutzdodin, that's the Gemaras. And the Minchas Yitzchok carries on and he brings that there is another way of understanding the whole idea of going to a keva, and that is, he brings from the Yoyal Satmar, from the Satmar Rebbe, that the idea is being mustavik nefesh benefesh. He says that's only for great people, that when they go, they have some tevekus with the tzaddik. But there is a Gemara in the Gemara in Sota that we just quoted. The Gemara in Sota that says that Kolev actually spoke to Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. So Tosfos over there asks the question that he's based on the Gemara in the third Perek of Brochus. There's a very interesting Gemara in the third Perek of Brochus. The Gemara talks about, do Mesim even know what's going on in this world? Do they even bother with what's going on in this world? Are they connected to what's going on in this world? There's a whole discussion in the Gemara. So the Tosfos asks, well, from Kolev it would seem that they are, you talk to them and you have a conversation with them, you can talk to them. So they are involved in what's going on in this world. So Tosfos answers over there. He seems to be learning that there's a third way to understand the whole idea over here of davening in a keva, and that is not like the Mishnah Berurah that you speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Sechus, not that you speak directly to the Mesim, but rather you speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu loud, and the mace feels your tsar, and when the mace feels your tsar, he davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's how it works. To speak to the mace, hearing and feeling what's going on, the mace turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's how it is, but it's not directly speaking. So that would save the problem. It looks like Derish Al HaMesim. We said the problem is speaking to the mace. It looks like you're seeking something from the mace, which you're not allowed. Here, I'm not seeking, I'm not directly speaking to the mace. I'm speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the mace overhears. He overhears my conversation, and therefore it's not a problem of Derish Al HaMesim. And that would be another way of understanding this whole idea. There's a fourth way of understanding. There's another way of understanding this thing, and the Bach himself says that actually, which will answer the question that was asked over here, and that is that we're not, when we go to a mace, we are not, we're talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But why do we come here? He says because the Mokim is Kodesh. It's a holy place. So it seemed from him like the mace just makes The Mokim and Mokim Kodesh. You're not asking anything from him. You're not using his chusin. He's not over listening to you. It's just a Mokim Kodesh. And he brings the Pasuk to the Bach brings the Yashkim Avam Abreker. And he, what do you want to say? The Pasuk to El Amokim Asher Omad Shom. Yes. El Amokim Asher Omad Shom. Avam got him the next morning. He went back to the place that he davened the previous day. That means he went to a Mokim Kodesh. There's an idea when you want to daven, you want to daven a Mokim Kodesh.
You
want
to use that. You need to wash your hands when you leave.
Because you say there's always the other element of the tumah there, that the skritonius which they talk about, which is the stavik. But so therefore this would be entirely divorced from the mace at all, in the sense of you're not using the mace for anything. You're completely going there for one thing, that this it is a mokoim kodesh, and that's what you're taking advantage of. The mokoim kodesh, in fact, there is a discussion. Can you leave Eretz Yisrael to go and daven in Kivri Tzadikim? Say a personal story that we were Bochum and we went to Europe and we got stuck there in a whole situation. Somebody for some reason asked why he knew the Gabo of Chaim Kanievsky. He knew the Gabo of Chaim Kanievsky. So we were stuck there. So he phones the Gabo of Chaim Kanievsky and says, "Can you ask him Chaim Kanievsky for a brocha that we're stuck in wherever we were? It wasn't our fault, it was some situation." And see what he says. So he puts it on loudspeaker, gives it to Reb Chaim, and he says there's Bochim, who he understood we came from Eretz Yisrael to Europe to go daven by the Kforim. The Gabbai, for some reason, didn't explain to him, actually, although we'd come from Eretz Yisrael, it was Pesach time, we'd come to England. So he said there's Bochim who left Eretz Yisrael and gone to Europe to daven Kforim. So Reb Chaim said, "Metol nishtar lo yiskein from Eretz Yisrael. You're not allowed to go out of Eretz Yisrael. Why are you going?" So he said, "They go to daven Kivri Tzadikim." He said, "Azma, therefore what?" He held it, "Not allowed to go out to Eretz Yisrael to go to Kivri Tzadikim." So they said to him, "No, we on the way anyway. Chutzor, let's go for Pesach to our parents. We could, on the way, we went to Europe." So he said, "Okay, brocha v'atzlacha." But there is actually a discussion. There's a stei chemed and there's other achoinim who talk about it. Can you leave Eretz Yisrael to go to Kivri Tzadikim? And they suggest that since Kivri Tzadikim, the Shechina is shayu there, Mimela, there's no problem with leaving Eretz Yisrael, because it's also a Mokim Kodesh. Why do you have to leave one Mokim Kodesh to go to another Mokim Kodesh? Maybe this Mokim Kodesh is more inspirational than the Mokim Kodesh over there. But Akoponim, there is a suggestion that it's a Mokim Kodesh, and since it's a Mokim Kodesh, there are Achronim who say that you might be allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael to go to Chutzaretz and to daven at the Kvarim. So that's the really suggested fourth stodim, either like the Mishnah Berurah that says, you daven HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the schus of the tzaddikim, or the second suggestion is, which was a typical one, and the Olam seemed to like that one, and that is that the way the Hirot says, the way the Nusachs are said, the Schoris are said, and that is, you speak to the mace, you ask him, "Please daven on my behalf." The third Mahalach is, you speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu aloud, and the mace hears and davens on your behalf. And the fourth suggestion is that it's a Mokim Kodesh, and therefore it's really just going there as a Mokim Kodesh, especially some suggest that so many tefillot, these Quran, there's so many tefillahs being poured out there, and itself creates a Mokim Kodesh, that itself creates a Mokim Kodesh. There is actually a stira in the Mishnah Berurah. There is a stira in Hilchas Tisha B'Av, and the Mishnah Berurah seems to say it a bit different, and really the Mishnah Berurah is based on a Gemara. On Tisha B'Av there's also a minug to go to Kvarim. Just find it. On Tisha B'Av, there's a minhag to go to Kfarim. Here. Sorry. Should be put on top of the mic. Okay, so there is a. I put my finger on it now. So there is a minhag to go on Tisha B'Av to go to the Kfarim. And the Shabruah on that halacha says, "Kedei Shivakshu Aleinu Rachami." Why are you going to the Kvarim on Tisha B'Av? In order that the mace should daven for us. And in fact, the Loshon of Mishnah Berurah is really a Loshon of Gemara. The Gemara in Tanis tells us that on a Tanis, the minhag was to go to the Kvarim. And the Gemara says two reasons. Either Kadei Shivakshu Aleinu Rachami, which is the Loshon of the Mishnah Berurah, or because to arouse with ourselves a lesson that we're dead. We don't have a schus kiyum, we don't have a schus of life. Everything we have is from the Ribbono Shel'Olam, we're so reliant on the Ribbono Shel'Olam. So that is sort of to bring home that lesson of dead people. In fact, one of the Nafka Minas, the difference is can you go to a goy should be a kvaros? If it's kedusha of actual aleinu rachamim, obviously there's no point in going to a goy should be a kvaros. If it is just to learn the lessons of mesim, then a goy should be a kvaros should do the same job as either should be a kvaros. So there is clearly in the Mishnah Berurah another mahalach. So the most achrenim learn that the Mishnah Berurah didn't mean that. Mishnah Berurah means the same idea. Kedusha of actual aleinu rachamim means redamta kodesh baruch hu. So clear that the Mishnah Berurah's wording is difficult. I once heard from my father's Zechayin of Avocha, I don't know if he said it for somebody or it's his own idea, and that is like this. The Milchas Yitzchak himself points out an akuda. He says the whole idea, let's start with Milchas Yitzchak, the whole idea of davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and then asking Mason to daven from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a strange thing. Why should you ask somebody else to daven for you? Why ask him? Just daven yourself. And he talks even more, he speaks about the whole idea of asking tzaddikim bechlal, why do you ask a tzaddik to daven for you? So he brings the concept of that when a tzaddik, you ask a tzaddik to daven for you, then he feels your tzar, and if he feels your tzar, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will have mercy on you, pasha the schus of the tzaddik, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want a tzaddik to have tzar. Right, so if he feels you're struggling, and the tzaddik struggling because of you, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu will save you because he doesn't want the tzaddik to be upset. And in fact, he brings the Medrash says, Vayichal Moshe Espinei Hashem Elikov, when Moshe started davening, states the Medrash, Vayichal Moshe, Moshe made himself ill over it. Moshe made himself ill over it, so therefore he davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Klal Yisrael to save himself. He had his own feelings involved, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to it through that. And in fact, he goes further. He says the whole idea of, he contrasts speaking, asking a tzaddik to daven for you to a malach. We know there's a famous debate in Slichas. We say machnisu rachmim, machnisu achmenu, lifnei bala rachmim. There's the whole piyot of davening, asking the malachim to daven for us. How can we ask malachim to daven for us? We say, well, how can you ask tzaddikim to daven for us? So he says because malachim are behind us in the queue. I mean, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a connection with Klal Yisrael, with Yidden, closer than he has than with malachim. So when you go ask the malach, it's strange, you're asking the malach when you yourself have a much deeper connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whereas when you ask from a tzaddik, then the tzaddik has a connection more than anyone else, and therefore he has feelings of pain for you, and that works, that he can daven for you. Now, with that hakdama, my father wants to suggest that there's a difference between Rosh Hashanah and Tisha B'Av. On Rosh Hashanah, when we're close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? There's Man Rachmim, there's Man Aslichas, obviously it's Miyadin as well, that's why we're going to the Keva. But there is a not kind, there's a nearness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so you go down to HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly. On Tisha B'Av, then one feels far from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? We know on Tisha B'Av is a Zman of Peronius, it's not the Zman where we feel so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there already the Mishnah Berurah was agreed that then you will need to use the mace to daven for you. Because you don't have the same closeness. On Rosh Hashanah, what do you need the mace for? Go down directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You might need tzchusim, so you say in the tzchus of the mace. But the connection to have it directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On Tisha B'Av, one's that bit further away from from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore one needs the middleman or the support of the mace to daven on your behalf. So that would maybe explain the Mishnah Berurah, although it's a bit interesting because the Mishnah Berurah seems to say it's wrong to do, and if it's wrong to do, it won't help to say that on Tisha B'Av we should do it, because if it's wrong, it's wrong. So, but akaponim, that is maybe a shtickle answer for the stira in the Mishnah Berurah. And if you look at the Mishnah Berurah itself, which is another whole shmooze about going to Kibbutz Tzaddikim Bechlal, because there are many who hold you shouldn't even go to Kavarim at all. There's a famous Arizal, we talked about the Magen Avraham brings him down. And the Mishnah Berurah himself in Hilchos Tisha B'Av, when he talks about going to a kvarim, he doesn't seem to say that you should go right up to the keva. He says you should stand away from it, darad amas, because he's worried about the tumas that they are in the Beis HaKvaros. In Hilchos Hashanah, he doesn't bring that. In Hilchos Hashanah, he doesn't bring that. Maybe again, because in Tisha B'Av, it is a zman of Peronius. So we're more aware, we're more worried, so we need to stand back and sort of ask from the keva to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In Rosh Hashanah, we have that bit more closeness and connection with the Rebbeinu Shlem, and therefore we're not worried in the same way. Okay, Shkoyach.
Shkoyach.
The second one was in Tisha B'Av. The second one. Thank you.